There are actually two cross milestones, okay? They're both accomplishment milestones and there are event milestones. And the events are not quite what you might think. One of the event milestones that, and I mentioned this in my original paper, that on the society, is that there was a workshop in Boston, okay? Things were starting to happen. No, not Ardenhouse. This was an acoustical society meeting in Boston that the head of the committee at the time on audio acoustics was a guy named Bill Lang. He was at IBM. He had known, and he was in noise. You know, he was studying, you know, noise and systems and noise in rooms, acoustic type noise, okay, which was part of the audio and electric acoustics purview. But he started seeing, you know, he saw the times moving. He was at IBM. He knew about the fast Fourier transform work that Jim Cooley had done with John Tukey at Bell Labs, which was generating tremendous stir because, you know, the FFT was one of the key algorithms in history because, you know, it takes an n square computation and goes to n log n. It doesn't sound like much until you think of n being, you know, a million, you know, and log of a million is 20, and log of and a million is, you know, a million. So, you know, you're knocking off six orders of magnitude in computation, and it says that if you go to 10 million, it only goes up by a factor of 10. It doesn't go up by a factor of 100 as an n square algorithm goes up. And so it opened up, you know, all sorts of stuff. So he's hearing about that, and people were starting to do things there. And he was hearing, and he was hearing also about some of the buzz of the fact that people were learning how to simulate analog systems in digital form. So he called a workshop in Boston, the name of it in the article, and it was in Boston. And as I said, the two centers were MIT and Dell Labs. And it was an acoustical society meeting. It wasn't even an IEEE meeting, but it brought in. At the time, the Acoustical Society was kind of the center for speech processing work because there was no speech in the IEEE. And it brought the speech people in to hear about these neat techniques. And it just created a marriage made in heaven, in a sense. So it sort of got a lot of people really aware of the fact that there is a new way of doing the kinds of things they want to do, which has tremendous opportunity. And right from that, and that meeting was in the mid-60s, we can look up the date, okay? And that led to the changing of the committee. The committee, the group on audio electric acoustics had all these technical committees. And there was a technical committee that changed its name a number of times, but it was the DSP technical committee. And they started, and they weren't called that at the time. And they basically said, okay, the times there are changing, time to do something. So they planned this first Ardenhouse workshop on the fast Fourier transform. Because that was the original, even though they went to the trouble of getting a lot of the right people on that committee. Charlie Rader was on the committee. I was on the committee. And I try to think of some of the people, you know, Howard Helms from Bell Labs was on it, and Jim Kleiser was on it, Ken Stieglitz from Princeton, who was one of the very early key contributors, Dave Berglund from Bell Labs. There were a number of people. And between them, they kind of knew everybody. And so as a result, we were able to compile a list of all the people worldwide who we thought were working on it and making contributions, as well as getting it out to IEEE auspices as an announcement. And we wound up at Ardenhouse in New York, which holds about 100 or so people. We filled the auditorium. We were hoping to get maybe 30, 40 people. It's a new field. The stuff had been almost known only by word of mouth. I mean, the publication was barely hot off the press kind of thing, and that takes years for those things. And the publication was by Cooley and Tukey was really erudite and dense, hard to get into. And so those things take a while till the message gets out. Yet we held this meeting, and it was exciting and dynamic, and there were 100 or so people attending, and there were probably in the order of 60 or 70 papers, and every one of them was going in some new idea and some new direction. It's this tremendous sense. And so this committee used to meet every 6 weeks, except during the summer. And we met that way probably from 1967 till I left the committee in the early 80s. 13 years or so. And what did we do? So we held 4 Ardenhouse workshops. We put out books. We put out reprint books. Because we knew that even though these things were there, it took somebody to organize them. This was a period where the first book came out by Golden Rader in the late 60s. The next pair of books came out by Oppenheim and Schaefer and myself and Ben Gold. 1975. So the feeling was that the books were starting to come out. You better get the original source material and start preserving it. It's archivally important. So the committee literally wrote a paper on terminology. We put out 2 books of reprints. We put out two books of the literature in the field, and we put out one book on DSP code. Okay? So think about a committee having done, it's probably the most productive committee I ever served on. Focused, productive. We define the technology, we define the field, we put out the key books we actually, and this wasn't just, even though the committee had a high percentage of the papers, every paper that got in that book went through review after review. I mean, we would split hairs about whether this paper is better because it's more historic, or this paper is better because it's more up-to-date, more factual, etc. We split hairs on them, okay, through these two reprint books. We did, I think, an unbelievably careful, you know, maybe we made mistakes, it's probably correct, and in hindsight, anyone's going to do that. But these are the events that really built up the field.